redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So, I wrote this sermon, 98% kids sermon, 2% adult sermon. We had like 13 kids at the first service, and just me for the second service. So you're going to get the children's sermon. So Jesus is on the way. And as he's on the way back, he's telling the disciples something they don't want to hear. It's the second or third time that he's told them. Jesus says, look, the Son of Man must suffer and die. He must be betrayed into human hands. And they will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. They hear Jesus, and they begin to talk among themselves. I've fantasized that as they talked among themselves, they were saying, look, this dude's going to die. Who's going to take over the band? Is it going to be you, Peter? Peter's like, oh, who knows? Luke, John, who will it be? Which one of us is the greatest? And that word piqued my interest. I wonder to myself, what does it take to be great? So I asked the kids this morning, what does it take to be great? What's a great, what does great mean to you? Any ideas? You can be kids for a moment. You're the youngest among us. Possibly this morning. Wait, what? Oh, Iara. You act like you're 40, so I never know.
It's a fancy smancy title that people give to people, for instance, i.e. Catherine the Great, Alexander the Great, all people who are...
Oh, it's a title. That's great. Thank you. What's great? Cheese is great. I agree. Great? You guys know nothing about greatness? Chocolate's great. Well, I'll tell you, I asked the kids, what would it take for me to be great? And I said, I think, without a question, it would take a cape. Awesome. So, I mean, great people. If you think of all the great people, what did they have? Alexander the Great, you ever see him without a cape? I don't think so. Who? He was great. As it turned out in the end, Snape was okay, wasn't he? He had a cape. Everybody wore capes back then in Harry Potter. So you got to have a cape, right? And then you're really great. Even better is if you really want to be great, you really need an emblem. If you've got a cape and an emblem, is that great or what? I won't do it for you because you don't care, but I tried to fly in the first service. Yeah. Amen. Fat guys can't fly. What? Whee! My knees can only take so much. Yeah, so I mean, that's one of the ways that we can be great, right? Is you be super, you have a cape, everybody thinks you're just fabulous. But if you were in England, who is the greatest person in England? Who? Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger is the oldest person in England. Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to be great, you have to have a... This is a pretty awesome crown. Clown. Little Freudian slip. Started out as a Mardi Gras hat, but suddenly it is... I mean, this is a sign of greatness, right? Just ask any king or queen who has ordered off with your head. So we associate gold and the golden crown and preferably an English accent. Good evening and welcome to church. You may all bow at the same time. There you go. Awesome. So crowns, another way we know who is great. But in our society... Here in the United States, I mean, this weekend I got pretty excited because I got to be a great person. I have an iPhone 5. It's even bent. We even associate greatness with what we own or don't own. The stuff we have. There is a hierarchy, it turns out around Apple users about which phone you have. My friend Katie got an iPhone 10. And I laughed at her because now she has to get a 10 Max or something like that. Right? Fives are fine. But in our country nowadays, really great people are known by this stuff. I have to tell you, this is cash. You've even heard it. Cash is king. I didn't have any money this morning, so I went into the church's petty cash drawer. Right? And I can tell you that all the money that the church has amounts to approximately $47. But we associate this with greatness and power, freedom, leisure, all of it. To be great, you have to have money. But Jesus puts a lie to all of that. Jesus tells his disciples, look, greatness has nothing to do with any of that. I will die on a cross. And that's what greatness looks like. To be poured out for the sake of the world. That's not a popular message these days. It's not even a word I think most of us want to hear. We hear again and again in our media and in politics and sometimes even in the church that greatness is something else. It has to do with lifting ourselves up and being the biggest and the best and the most popular. I mean, think about the way our system works. The most wonderful, enthusiastic, inspiring, life-changing, incredible sixth grade teacher, the best one in the entire universe, gets paid way less than the worst, awful, stumbling Major League Baseball player. We link greatness to fame and money and power. In our conversations on this text last week, we began to talk about what it is that greatness becomes for us. Greatness becomes arrogance, becomes the just me movement. That what I want and what I have and what I do becomes the center of my life and my work and my passion. But true greatness lies in the ability to see through the eyes of love. And to act for the sake of those who seek hope and peace. Greatness lies in the ability to see through the eyes of love. That's what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. It's the lesson they keep not getting over and over and over and over again, in the same way that neither do we absorb that lesson or live it. I almost started out this sermon, and I ran this by my colleagues who laughed, which is always a good sign. I was going to get a trucker's cap with the words, "Make the church great again." What's that? Yeah, not so much, exactly. And the reason I wanted to do that is because as the church continues to decline and fewer people show up and less money comes in, people are honest to God doing exactly what Jesus says not to do. They're like, we need to make this the best institution there ever was. We need to have full pews and full churches. We need to have the political influence that we used to have. But for what? For us? For our own satisfaction? There is something about seeing through the eyes of Jesus what greatness is that transforms both us and the church. We see it in the eyes of people who, through the Me Too movement, have begun to help us see anew the responsibility that all people have for one another. Last night, I had the honor of going to the IHS 40th anniversary dinner. It was ironic that Jeannie and I went, since actually everyone else does the work. But in typical humility, none of them wanted to go to the event. Fine, I'll go. So we went. And the irony of sitting on the lawn, the great lawn of the Hilton Hawaiian Village, talking about homelessness. It's all fine. We all do these nonprofit organizations. But we heard, we got a lot, you know, hilarious. Award after award for these developers and different people who have done things over the years, and thank God that they do all of those things. And then one little mention about the people who go and meet with hopeless people. And I thought to myself, who's the greatest in all of this? Is it the developers? Is it all of these companies that help us with money and so forth? Are they the greatest ones? And I thought to myself, who we should have on stage are the people who go and have, they say, sometimes 100 contacts. 100 contacts with a homeless person before they will even consider going to a shelter or entering a program. Talk about persistent love. Talk about patience. Talk about greatness. I got to tell you, you miss church 6 times, you're out of luck. I am not calling you. I'll try 6 times to get you back, but that's it. I'd be a terrible homeless outreach worker, apparently. 100 times they will do this. That is the greatness of Christ. This God, this love that never ceases and never gives up, that is greatness. A different kind of greatness than the world will even begin to understand. So Jesus walks on our way with us and reminds us again and again that greatness is the love of God that abides with and through and for us in the world, that teaches us to see through eyes of love and act with hands of peace, and always for the sake of those who most and most desperately need it. So put away your capes and your crowns and your accolades and see with new eyes.